manifested in what? The flesh. Very important to know that. That's number one. Number two is going to be right about over here. Anybody remember that one? Colossians 1:27. The indwelling of Christ in the what? The believer. Number three, going to be right about here. Anybody remember? Ephesians 5:32. That is Christ being the groom, and we are the bride. We are in his body. The Bible tells us that. Once we become saved, what happens? Ephesians 1:13. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. That day of redemption will be coming when you hit that glorified state. When that soul hits that body, and you become glorified. You're just like the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no blood in that body. There'll be no clothes on that body. These Hollywood people that make these Hollywood movies about the rapture got it wrong. They show a bunch of clothes laying there, but they forgot about the blood. Because the Bible is very clear. It says that no flesh and blood shall inherit the kingdom of God. So there's going to be a bunch of blood everywhere when that rapture happens. They fail to leave that out. Number four is going to be 1 Corinthians 15, around 51 to 55. That's going to occur right here. That's supposed to be an arrow. Number four, and that is the rapture. Something we should be looking for. Titus 2:13 tells us what? To be looking for that blessed hope, that second appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll cover the other mysteries when I come up and teach again, that which would cover the temporary blindness of Israel. Romans 11:25. We're going to talk about Revelation 17:5. Great Babylon. But that's going to be further down the road. And we're also going to talk about the Antichrist. That's going to be found in 2 Thessalonians 2:7-8. So I just want to put this up here to kind of give a little bit of picture in your mind how this timeline works. As a Christian, we should know this. We should see how this timeline works and how everything falls into play when you rightly divide the word of truth. What's happening today is people don't rightly divide the word of truth. They're messed up. And remember, after this happens, we're going to go right back to the way it was before the cross. It's going to be works and faith. Because the age of grace is now. The age of grace is now. Last week we left off on Galatians 1:9. Paul, the apostle, was talking about the different gospels and the importance of why we should know what gospel we have today. We talked about the gospel of grace, 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 1 through 4 compared to the gospel of the kingdom. Why is that important? Because you need to distinguish the different gospels that are out there. We're told in Galatians 1:9. It says, as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You see that? Peter never preached that. He preached, repent, be baptized. Remember back in Acts 2:38? That's why the book of Acts is a transitional book. It is not a book of doctrine. You cannot pull doctrine out of Acts, and that's what you see Campbellites doing. Bible writers doing it. See Pentecostals doing it. Charismatics doing it. That's why they're messed up. Because the Bible is very clear on rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you don't rightly divide, you wrongly divide it. When you wrongly divide, you start misleading people. And that's why today you hit in the pulpits going across today, they're going to be talking about Easter. Nonsense. We don't bring pagan gods in here. Because our God is pure. Our God was resurrected. So we're warned. You might say, what do you mean by another angel from heaven? Notice it says that in that verse. It says, or an angel from heaven preach other gospel unto you, that which have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There is another gospel. It's found in Revelation 14:6, and it is preached by an angel. It is called the everlasting gospel. But Paul's saying that does not apply today. And if anybody comes to you during this dispensation of grace, when we're dealing with the church age, if an angel comes down here and starts preaching another gospel, it is somebody other than him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the blood, you better not believe it. And let that angel be damned. Be cursed. Or again, we covered anathema, which Catholics use. If a false prophet or false priest, false teacher comes along and tells you that there is something more than just the blood of Christ to be saved, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, let him be cursed. There's a reason for that. Because the devil comes to mislead. And folks, he's running in pulpits today. And I know that because in my ministry, when I deal with people, the collateral damage is horrible. What I see, what I hear. I can't believe it, honestly. So the danger of people walking around and saying you have to be baptized in order to get the Holy Spirit. You see the danger of thinking you are predestinated before the foundations of earth. You're not saved. That's how the Calvinists think. Why do they pull that stuff down? Where does that come from? You see the danger of these free will Baptists that think you can lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. You might fight the whole way up there, but you're not going to lose it. God's not Indian giver. It's yours forever. Number one is because they preach out of the wrong book. Number two is because they do not rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. This is quite a statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ, which means he means business in that verse. He is the way. The only way is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God we're here right now and not here or during the tribulation period, because then you'd have to work to keep it. We see that in Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews 6, and Hebrews 10. If any man come up any other way, he is both a thief and a robber. John chapter 10. And folks, today, in pulpits, there's a lot of charlatans and a lot of robbers. I'm telling you right now. And the reason is because people don't want to take this book and study it. Lazy Christianity, anemic Christianity. Or you got the other realm that think that they know more than what they do. And that's the sad part. So what he's saying here is that you have to clearly understand what the church is. The church is the bride, but the bride is only during the time period. And that time period is what? It is now, the age of grace. We are the bride. He is the groom. Ephesians 5:32. This is the time period that you are saved by grace through faith alone. There is no works involved to get there. No works. There's no baptism involved. There's no sacraments involved. There is no church attendance involved. There is no dress code involved. Okay? There's some people that can't make it to the church house. Some people are sickly. And one of my pet peeves is when someone says, oh, they don't go to church. I said, you knucklehead, you are the church. That's just the building. Learn your Bible. And I tell you, that's what you want to know why a lot of people walk away from some of the Baptist church houses? For that reason. Because some people don't even think they're holier than thou. Man, that irritates me. Shame on you. You should treat anyone that comes through that door with respect and grace. And if you don't like them, grow up. I deal with so many people that have walked out of church houses because of that reason. Because of the way people treat them. Well, you're going to have your cliques. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, he preaches about envy, strife, and division within the church house. So you will have that. But if you entertain it, shame on you. And that includes myself. I'm right at the front of the line. Okay, I'm not better than anybody, and if anything, I'm worse. Once you're saved, you're saved forever. How do we know that? How do you know you have eternal security? Where does it say that in the Bible? Romans 8:38-39, John 10:28, John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 1:7. These Bible verses should be popping in your head, because that's the question I get asked out there when I'm in the streets in my ministry. How do you know you're saved? How do you know that's the right Bible? I'll show you why it's the right Bible. I'll show you the prophecies that have been fulfilled all the way to the end. How many Christians know that? And look, folks, I'm not picking on anybody in here. Please don't walk away. That's not my intent. My intent is to give the beans and bullets the way it was given to me. And I'm one of them guys, I like to get yelled at to learn. That's just the way I am. The church age ends, in case you do not know. Remember, it started just past Calvary. It started when they rejected the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 7, but already the Holy Spirit back in Acts chapter 2. And that's when the church house actually started. The church started in Acts chapter 2. It starts right there by the calling out of the Apostle Paul and Peter in 7. Peter in 2 and Paul in 7. But nobody knows it clearly until after Acts 15 when it was preached. In Acts 15, we have the Jerusalem Council. You have Paul getting going. He had the conversion. But now he's starting to understand what needs to be done. And after the Jerusalem Council, it just takes off. It is called the church age. And when does it end? When something happens. And I hope that happens today. It's called the rapture. There's another argument that a lot of people like to hit you head on. The word rapture, nowhere does it appear in the Bible. And then I just laugh at him. I said, I'm glad we can agree on one thing, because it doesn't. And he just kind of gave me a funny look. But if you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, it says, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice, the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we ever will be with the Lord. So you see it very clearly. During the age of grace, the ones that are saints that are dead in Christ are in the ground, and you got the ones that are alive here. It says they're going to get a head start. They're going to go up first at the rapture. And why is that? I don't know. I've heard a rumor that it's because they got to travel 6 feet more than we do. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. And then the ones that are alive will go up. And that's the guarantee we have. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that we're not going to suffer the wrath when he comes. But how many people want to argue? Some say, oh no, we do. We do have to suffer. We do have to go through tribulation. No, you don't. We're suffering now as Christians in other countries. I know that for a fact. We're very fortunate to be able to meet here today and have a Bible study. We really are. And you start the tribulation after the rapture. You have 144,000 Jews that are marked to show up, and guess what? They start preaching again. They go back to what? To what was preached over here. That's right. They start preaching right here because the age of grace is now over. And that's how you'd have to distinguish what we have now and how to distinguish between what gospel is what. This is why the mystery in Ephesians 5:32, because it is nowhere preached in the Old Testament. And it is hard sometimes to understand that we are the bride and the Lord Jesus Christ is the groom. And when that rapture takes place for the bride will be joined with the husband. Amen? At the rapture. Sister Rachel mentioned that last time we had study. That's correct. Now we're going to go into the rapture. This is what a lot of people get excited about. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55, if you want to open up your Bibles there, please. And we do need to make some distinctions between the rapture and the second advent. There's a difference. And that's another thing people get confused a lot. The second advent and the rapture, there is a difference in the distinction between the two. When the Bible says that no man knows the day and the hour, he's talking about the second coming, not the rapture. What do we know about the first advent? When did that first advent occur? Yes, sir. What? Yes, right, sir. Right here. First advent, right here. And the second advent, does anybody know when that happens? Second advent is going to be right over here. And what do you got going on right here? You got the end of the rap. I'm sorry. This is the tribulation period here. The end of the tribulation. What do you got going on right here? You've got Armageddon, right? Right in this area here. And then after Armageddon, you've got the millennial reign. And right over here, you got Gog and Magog. A lot of people get these two confused too. And you can. It can happen. But we want to understand that we have to distinguish between the two and what they mean. So the second coming is also called the second advent. Advent, in other words, adventure. He came first as a lamb, and he's coming next time as what? As a king, to take what's rightfully his. That means that the second advent of Christ and the first advent was his birth. The second one is his coming down to obtain what is rightfully his. The second advent is when he comes down here with the saints. Come up with him there in Revelation chapter 19. Now that's very important. Postmillennial means that you have some people that have postmillennial theology. Postmillennial means that they believe that after the millennium, and everything is wonderful when God comes back after the people straighten everything out. That's not going to happen. We will clearly see that it's not working out very well. How do we know? Because anything people ever touch always comes out of mess. I'll attest to that. This is why you always needed God to intervene. Remember, Adam messed up, the Lord had to intervene. Noah messed up, the Lord had to intervene. Abraham messed up, and the Lord had to intervene. Moses messed up, and the Lord had to intervene. The Lord Jesus Christ came, we crucified him, and the Lord had to intervene. The church age comes along at the end, it ends in apostasy. So when that church age starts coming close to the end, you're going to see a lot of apostasy. You're going to be seeing things that are going on, you're going, what? People are so hypersensitive now. These pastors are taking in these contemporary colleges are being taught to make sure they don't come down too hard on the people. Well, that's not preaching to me. That's more different. Might as well just have a social gathering. The millennial kingdom, the devil comes out of the pit for a season, goes to the end there, he gets down there, Gog and Magog comes together against the Lord. And again, Armageddon is different from Gog and Magog. That happens at the end. Again, Gog and Magog happen at the end of the millennial kingdom. That is very important that you get these facts. Sometimes we become so selfish within our own motives and get caught up in a rat race of the world. We tend to forget these things, and we tend to start looking at outside sources to base everything on. Look, folks, I'm not looking for that Antichrist. I can care less. I'm looking for that blessed second coming. Who cares about the mark? And all? I don't care. He's not here. The Bible's very clear on that. Why do people get so caught up, oh, man, you know, don't take this, don't, you know what, to each their own. I'm telling you, if people study their Bible, they know better. Just again, just for a quick recap, the rapture is not the second coming. Remember, the first advent, our Lord Jesus came as a lamb, the second he will come as king. For the rapture is for the body of Christ. That is a mystery. Nobody knew about this in the Old Testament. Nobody knew about it through the Gospels. If you read Matthew 24 and 25 and you go to the Bible, there are earthquakes increasing and wars will increase and famines will increase and there will be many false Christs that will come. He's talking about the second coming, not the rapture. How many times have you heard people, probably World War I, man, the end times are here, World War II, Korean conflict, Vietnam, Desert Storm, all these campaigns that we have, and what do you hear? Oh, you know, this COVID, the end of the world. We don't know that. We got more technology now to see more things that are going on, and yeah, there's an increase, and are we getting closer? I'm sure we are, as the clock ticks. But it never ceases to amaze me how people will call these people and give money because they're giving dates on when the end of the world's coming and all that nonsense, really. I mean, wow. So let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 1:10, please. Now, this is a verse that it's a good verse to use against people that want to fight you in a rapture. They'll try to hit you head on, and they'll try to be argumentative and say, we are going through the tribulation. And this is one verse you want to use. Notice what the Bible says. It says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to the wrath to come refers to the tribulation and the wrath of the Lamb of God. You see that in Matthew 3:7 and Luke 3:7, Revelation 6:16 through 17. It's there. We believe that before the tribulation happens, the rapture will happen. We'll be out of here. And for those that don't believe it, well, they're going to be in for a rude awakening. Just shut the lights off, I guess. You know, or we'll leave the coffee running. I know a lot of pastors will not preach about the tribulation. I've heard some say you cannot prove that that's even going to happen. I beg to differ. I can prove that easily. This will happen. But the reason they don't want to preach that is because they don't want to hit on sin. They don't want to hit on being, you know, rightly dividing, and they don't want to preach on the judgment seat of Christ. They want to give that, again, I call it the Barney Christianity. I love you, you love me, everything's going to be just fine. No, it's not. Bible's very clear on that. It's not going to be fine. And if everything is really good for you and you have no problems, I think you need a spiritual check. I think you might be running with the wrong crowd. Because I know for my life, every day is something going on. I can attest to that. I'm telling you. I get hit hard. I remember when I was talking to a guy when I was out in Gary. We were out on 5th and Broadway. And I was doing some street preaching. We had about 10 guys in our ministry out there. And I remember he came up, and he was trying to argue with me about the rapture. You know, the word rapture is not in the Bible. And he just kept going on and on, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, here we go again. But it happens all the time. And he just kept going on and going on. And he told me I was delusional. He said, you're delusional, man. And I said, okay. And as soon as he said that, boom, 2 Thessalonians 2:11 popped in my head. And he had a King James Bible. And I said, turn your Bible to 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Please turn your Bibles there. And he gave me, and I said, let's read it. And he did have a King James Bible. And it says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And I sat there and said, I'm delusional because I believe that my last breath here on earth is going to be my first breath up in heaven. So I'm delusional. I said, you're more delusional than I am because I just proved to you you're walking around and arguing the word rapture. And I agreed with him on that. And I took him and showed him where the word caught up is. So to make a long story short, he left there, and he came back about a month later when I was in the chow hall or the cafeteria over there at the homeless shelter for the veterans, and I was giving a Bible study, and he came in the back, and his name was Carl. And I remember my son looking at me like, oh, boy, here we go. I said, it's okay, bring it on. And after my study, Carl came up to me, and he shook my hand, and he said, I'm so sorry. He said, you're right. He said, I should have never done that in front of your people you were preaching to. I said, it's all right, brother. I said, God bless you. I'm glad you're starting to rightly divide. And he started to come to the and learn, and then he ended up leaving. And I did find out he's still in the Word of God. The hardest thing for him right now is trying to find a Bible-believing church house. That's the only problem he's having now. But I tell you, folks, like I said, you're going to get hit hard out there. It happens. But let's go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians 15. Start at verse 51. And the Bible says this. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Just so you know, a twinkling of an eye, I did some research on it, and from what I found out is the speed of light is about 186,000 miles an hour. And it can go around the earth, it's like 7.5 times. A twinkling of the eye is quicker than that. That's how quick it's going to happen. Well, verse number 53, it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse number 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? See that? The mystery is the rapture. Can we explain it? No. Do we understand it? No. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he says that we are to be good stewards of the mysteries. We should know these mysteries. We should be faithful in these mysteries. This mystery is the rapture. It is the disappearance of the body of Christ in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Now he says there are two kinds of people. Those who are alive when the Lord comes are caught up without dying, and those that are dead will be pulled out of the ground. So he says that if you're mortal, subject to the mortality rate, you will be caught up without dying and put on immortality. That's why I hope it happens today, so we don't suffer that sting of death. But like I said, the good part is we know where we're headed. Praise God. So if you are dead and buried when the Lord comes back, then you are down in the ground rotting, and you are corruptible, and you come out of that grave and put on incorruption. He says in verse 54 and 55, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The saved that are alive, when the Lord comes back, death does not get them. O death, where is thy sting? The ones that are buried cannot stay in the ground. O grave, where is thy victory? The live man goes up without dying, and the dead man goes up, and the grave cannot keep him down. Can't keep a good Christian person down, can you? Remember back when Mary and Martha had some trouble? When her brother Lazarus died, Martha went to see Jesus. And she said in John 11:21, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And he said, thy brother shall rise again. Amen. And Martha said, I know he'll come up again in the last day, the last resurrection. The general judgment of the unsaved dead. And Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall he live. Amen. And whosoever liveth and believe in me shall never die. Praise God. Remember, a born again believer is born twice and dies once if the rapture doesn't happen. And if the rapture happens, he doesn't have to die. An unsaved person, what happens? They're born once and dies twice. The key thing to note there is both resurrections are right there. In the passage, John 11:25 and 26, so you've got two kinds. It is a great comfort for me to know that if I died before the Lord comes, the worms cannot keep me down. They can't eat me, but they cannot keep me digested. I mean, I'm going down, but you cannot keep, again, a saved person down. I mean, the flesh will be down for a while in that grave, the shell of that dead person. And what is going to happen? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The grave cannot keep him from coming up. Now, they used to sing back in the old days. This is one of the hymns they sang. And I'm not going to sing it because everybody will run out of here. There's going to be a meeting in the air. And the sweet, sweet by and by, I'm going to meet you, greet you there in your home beyond the sky. Amen. Man, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, man, I think about Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of God in the Savior, Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher once say, he preached, I think he was out of Arizona, his preacher had preached about the second coming over 700 times. And people would say, it hasn't occurred yet. Why does he keep preaching that? It hasn't occurred. Remember back when old Noah kept saying it was going to rain? One fellow said, well, you see now, old fool, it hasn't rained for 120 years. And he had been preaching that over and over. Over and over, Noah responded, it's going to rain. And one day it did rain. And one day that rapture is going to happen. I mean, if the Lord comes, I will go right. I'll go up right now. If the Lord comes, I am leaving by and by. I mean, if the Lord comes right now, every window pane in this building would burst. And you would hear a roar like a cobalt bomb going off. Man, I'm telling you, talk about a crisis. Imagine a bunch of policemen running all over the place, sirens going off, people going crazy. Think about it. Really think about it. Do you realize what it would be like if it happened in this church house? I mean, suppose the Lord comes back right now and boom, we all take off. Wow. I mean, why do we get caught up in so many worldly worries when we know our Lord and Savior is going to come back one day? Think about that. Can you imagine the people that would be sitting in here? And I'm not saying no one's saved in here. I'm just saying if there were some people sitting in here that were not saved, can you imagine if the rapture happened? What would they think? They'd be like, wow. What a blessing to know that. So the unsaved people would be here to start going crazy. They would not be able to understand what just happened. I mean, they'd be sitting here, and all of a sudden, a boom. Their eardrums would pop. You'd be like, you'd come out with a blast, and there would be glass flying all over the room. When you got up off the floor and shook your head and looked around the room, you see a couple hundred quarts of blood all over the place. Because we just covered that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We just proved that. You would see a couple hundred quarts of blood all over the place. Okay, so what happens at the rapture? What happens? Well, at the rapture, there'll be a shout. Then the voice of the archangel. Then the trump of God. So God will shout. Then the voice will say, come up hither. Then the last trump. What takes place? The Bible says that dead in Christ shall rise first. Then it says that are alive remain shall be caught up. There it is. Yeah, it doesn't say rapture, but it does say caught up. With him to the clouds, with him. And there we shall ever be with him. Have you ever wondered why did we, well, we covered that? Why did dead get a head start? Again, they're sick. They got to go 6 more feet than we do, I guess. Or, I'm not sure, but that's what I heard. So if you were a born-again believer and had died prior to the rapture, that means your body's laying in the ground and your soul's up in heaven. How do we know that? How do we know that? Where did we get that? We covered that. Remember, Colossians 2, what happens when you become saved? That soul is cut away from that body. Why? Because the body will continue to sin. We're positioned in heaven, but we're geographically here walking on earth. Once that rapture happens, that soul is going to join that body. It's going to, boom, and there you are with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be in a glorified state. That's what the Bible says. Praise God. No more sicknesses, no more diseases. Man, oh man, I'll tell you what. Every time I wake up from all the jumps I did in the military, my son says, man, Dad, you're eating Rice Krispies again. I can hear snap, crackle, pop. I said, yeah, you're right. Give me about an hour, I'll be there. And we that are alive and shall be caught up with him, so we do not suffer the sting of death, as mentioned in Corinthians. We'll be caught up if we are alive during that time period. We will be changed in a moment. We will be in a glorified state. When a Christian dies, what happens? Remember, we talked about this before. Every person has a body, a soul, and a spirit. So it's very important to understand that. So what happens when you die? The very important thing, Bible cults that teach that the body becomes annihilated. Remember, we talked about that. Who believes that? Remember when we were going over Bible cults, who believes that the Bible's going to be annihilated in the grave? Anybody remember? Jehovah's Witnesses, that's right. They believe the body's just annihilated, unless you're one of the 144,000 that make it. And that's the sad part. Again, it's incorrect Bible doctrine. And we know it's not true. We also talk about another Bible cult that's out there, the Catholics. Catholics believe you'll be in purgatory. Nowhere in the Bible is purgatory ever mentioned. That is a false heresy from the pits of hell. It's a damning doctrine that we should never believe. And so oftentimes, people that are Catholics, they want to pursue that because I don't want to get my family mad. So, and I went through that, folks. We were diehard Catholics. And I remember when I started reading my Bible, man, the flack I caught. And I still get it to today. People still attack me. That's okay. I'll pray for them. I hope one day they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because if you really love them, you'll preach them and teach them that. But they tell you, I remember talking to a guy that said, we're praying for my uncle. He died and he's in purgatory. Oh, my gosh. And I said, so he's in purgatory? He's in a holding pattern. I'm like, man, oh, man. So what do you do? He goes, well, we pray. And I said, and we give money. I guess if you give enough money, maybe his foot can make it to heaven. You know, it's sad, folks. It really is. I mean, think about it. How do you get caught up in that? But we are confident. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Nowhere does it say you'll be in a holding pattern. The Bible is very clear on hell. The Bible is very clear on heaven. Luke 16 clearly tells us about hell. And the problem is with people today, they get caught up in these things and they don't understand why. When a person dies today that's unsaved, where do they go? Where does that soul go? It goes to hell. And they're down there, and it's like a county jail. They'll be in a county jail until that great white throne judgment happens. They're going to go in front of that great white throne judgment. Let me tell you something. I remember back in the Marine Corps, we had this one colonel, and they said, if you go in front of his desk for anything, you're going to get NJP, no matter what. And everybody feared that. And I'll tell you what, that's that judgment seat of the great white throne judgment. It's going to be that. If you have to go there, you're going to go to the lake of fire. You haven't made it. I hate to tell you, you haven't made it. This is why during the age of grace, it's very important that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is very clear on this. When they talk about annihilation, that's not true. You're either up or you're down. It's very clear on that. In Genesis 35:18, it says, and it came to pass, as her new soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Here we have the death of Rachel. Rachel dies and she leaves her body, but it says her soul wasn't departing. That is a fact. When you die, your soul's going to go up or down. That is it. So we clearly see that the soul will leave the body when you die. How could anybody ever say when you die, your body, your soul and your body are annihilated? Makes no sense. That's right, folks. When a body dies and a rapture has not occurred, that soul is going to go either up or down. And we clearly see that in Luke 16. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So in Ephesians 4:30, this is clearly why your soul goes to heaven, because you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You have the Holy Spirit in you, inside of you. Ephesians 1:13, and you're going to take that Holy Spirit. You can't take the Holy Spirit to hell. If you're saved, you can't go to hell because the Holy Spirit's not going to hell. Very simple. And that takes place, and the soul goes up, and the Holy Spirit does that. So the rapture is a day of redemption. And that day of redemption will be your body. You see, when you are saved, your soul is redeemed. Look at Ephesians 1:7, please. And the Bible says this, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." So we have been redeemed of our soul the moment we became saved. We believe we are saved. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Again, Ephesians 1:13. So your body being in the grave, and when you are a born-again believer, your body will be redeemed with your soul at the rapture. They again will be together in a glorified state. You will receive a glorified, uncorruptible body. Go to Romans 8:23, please. And the Bible says this, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So that is the redemption of our body. When does that take place? That takes place at the rapture. Look at Romans 8:17. And the Bible says this, "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also what? Glorified together." There it is. We're just like the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a glorification of your body that will take place. Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be firstborn among many brethren." So as Jesus had a glorified body when he rose again from the dead, and that took place at the rapture, and that is when you die before the rapture happens. See, your body will be resurrected just like Jesus Christ was. And it will be in a glorified state. Go to Philippians 3:20 and 21, please. The Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we are looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." There it is. You can't argue it. "According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Clearly this shows you here that we are waiting for that glorious body. So he's going to take up our old body and fashion it like the body like his. It is right there. A glorified body someday. Turn your Bibles to John 3:2, please. The Bible says this, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Amen. So we are going to have a glorified body, just like his at the rapture. Okay, let's go to real quick to 1 Corinthians 15:50. So what's that glorified body like? What does it look like? What does a glorified body look like? Well, let's let the correct Bible answer that for us. It says this, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. You see that? So a glorified body is not flesh and it is not blood. Very, very clear. Very, very clear. So it's going to be incorruptible body. But notice what it says. It says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot have any inheritance in a body full of blood. So we have a tainted, sinful, wicked flesh. It says in Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The problem is the blood. We have a problem with the blood. When you know, and that's that most diseases, from what I was told, come from the blood. That's why at the rapture, if you're walking on earth here, what's going to happen? That blood is staying. And that your clothes are staying. And that's why these Hollywood movies need to get it right. And if it happens here, and police officers come in here, and sirens are blaring, they're going to look like somebody came in here with red paintball guns and sprayed the whole place up. Yes, ma'am. The spirit is different from the flesh, according to Dr. Peacock. Yes, the soul is going to come and hit with the spirit. And that's where the glorified state, that's where you're going to be in that glorified state. Because when we go up, we're going up. We're not going to be going through the windows. We're going straight up. So there's no flesh there, because we would be hitting that. We'd be hitting that. I'll say that again. I'm sorry. Yes, yes. Yes, yeah, we'll be in a spirit form. It'll be a spirit, basically a spirit form. There's no blood that's going to go to heaven. The Bible's very clear on that. What's that? No, there is no flesh. The flesh will be, yeah, the flesh will stay here. It'll be just a spirit form. Yeah, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it'll stay here, and that's why I said you're going to see puddles of blood. You probably see flesh, and you'll have the spirit go up. And again, once the soul hits the spirit at the rapture, that's that glorified state. Yes. Mm-hmm. So again, I just want to clarify that. We'll go ahead and stop here. But key things I want people to understand here, the second advent is different from the rapture. The first advent is different from the second advent. We need to clarify that, because a lot of times we have to also clarify Gog and Magog and Armageddon. And it can be confusing, and we can mix that up. So if we understand that and you look at the timeline a little bit, you'll see. Once the rapture happens, that's the mystery we covered today, 1 Corinthians 15, that we will be in that glorified state, and that's when everything starts to happen. And it will cover the rest of the mysteries from here. Yes, ma'am.
Can you please give me that reference for
being
a good steward of the
mysteries? Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 1 and 2, and then there's another verse on the stewards also. I'll have to find that one. In other words, Paul is charging us to be good stewards. He's charging us to be good stewards and good ministers. So if you charge and stewards are almost the same. But I know it's in there. I just got to find it. Yeah. Okay, I think we better end here. So let me end in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I pray, Father God, that you watch over our service and help us today. And Father God, thank you for giving us this day. And Heavenly Father, we pray this prayer in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.